mentorship in that. We have viewed this mentorship relationship that has been built up and supported and instructed to this current day. Through the apostles and the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see the onmarching of all the great leaders of old to the present day. And they've instructed us in modeling spiritual discipleship, involving the imparting of knowledge, values, and skills, head, heart, and hands. Head knowledge is acquisition, involving development of understanding and knowledge and wisdom. The heart characterizes acquisition, involving instilling love, values, and passion for Christ. And then the hands is the acquisition, involving the life skills needed to faithfully and effectively fulfill the great commission that we are called to. While we may desire to strive after these goals individually, certainly we know that as intentional as we can be, mentorship is so important for us to follow through and be built up. Actually, goals go begging when it comes to following, reaching out for goals in way of our spiritual lives, because there's competing goals in our lives. We have lifestyle choices that are made and good things that become the enemy of the best in our lives. Well, first of all, let's look at some of those biblical examples we reviewed over these past 3 months. We need those around us that are godly influences and model for us healthy spirituality. These things are foundational for being an adult who is devoted to being a true follower of Christ. Each generation fulfills its responsibility in raising up the next generation. Acts chapter 13, verse 36 says this, "Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." David was about raising up the next generation, as we all ought to be. The biblical narrative is an accounting of how each of us in successive generations pass on what is meant to be the people of God. What it means to be the people of God is passed down from generation to generation. The Old Testament examples, the New Testament examples, follow in succession. We had men like Abraham, Eli, Samuel, Moses, Naomi and Ruth, Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, Jesus, Peter, James and John, Ananias, Barnabas, Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus, and this to name only a few of the great leaders in our Bible. These men followed biblical examples. Paul, the apostle, stood on the shoulder of giants in his day. Men like Peter and James, Barnabas and Ananias. Then followed up with men that stood on his shoulders, Silas, John Mark, Epaphroditus, and Timothy. Perhaps Paul was thinking of these men as he penned the words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." The biblical example should be significant enough to dispel the idea that Christians can be self-made or that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. These past 3 months, I hope you have got the emphasis that our priority of mentorship is an important one in our lives. No one is built up in the Christian faith without an interdependency upon one another. We need one another. And Paul's metaphor of the body, speaking of the church, reflects that. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, "Just as a body, the one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. There's a oneness, there's a separateness, but we are all more so in one body, the body of Christ. In these verses, we are encouraged to live our lives in such a way as to glorify and honor our God in our relationships with one another. And so we come to the second point in way of mentoring, mentoring options and possibilities. There are many possibilities and options to mentor one another. In speaking to older folks this morning, although other older people's brains are slowing down, experience and knowledge more than make up for it. And I speak of myself in light of that. Although older people's brains are slowing down, experience and knowledge more than make up for it. How do I get that? Well, it's actually scientific. Science has proved it. Science has revealed two types of intelligence. One is in way of fluidity. The other one is in way of crystallized. Fluid intelligence is the ability to learn and process information. And younger people perform better in this area. While crystallized intelligence refers to experience and accumulated knowledge, and older adults weigh in heavy in this area. Dr. Yi Li of California University in Riverside said this, "The findings confirm our hypothesis that experience and acquired knowledge from a lifetime decision-making offset the declining ability to learn new information." So, older folks, you can't excuse yourselves with the phrase, "I'm just too old for this." And I know I am leaning towards that at times myself. Older is relative, really, because I know even as growing up, my parents would say to me, "Larry, you're the oldest of your brother and your two sisters, so you are more responsible. Act your age and look after and care for your brothers and sisters." It can be years older or even decades older. My parents had it right. The older has responsibility to look after the younger. The difference doesn't have to be only in age, though. It can be dealing with skills, or it can be dealing with knowledge. Now, it can work the other way, too, can it? And we see this when it comes to technology in the area of expertise. I often hear older folks complaining, "I just can't get this computer to work." And so we look to our kids sometimes, the younger generation, to give us a hand, how to make our email work, how to find a website, yada, yada, right? Well, when it comes to mentoring, there are all sorts of possibilities of younger generation speaking into the older generation speaking into the younger generation. Women are encouraged even in Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, and I read it for you this morning. "Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Here you see that intergenerational play. Christian leaders particularly need to mentor others. I hear from people all the time that they wish that someone else would be they could be accountable to and to be encouraged by and to guide them. And they long for that in their lives. Well, I want to speak too as well as what mentoring isn't this morning. Mentoring is easier described than it is really to define mentoring. More than an art than it is a science. The goal is to help enable and to equip others to reach their full potential in following Jesus Christ. And that's why we have our particular mission statement here at Westwood Alliance Church, that we make devoted followers of Jesus. We're all about making devoted followers and following Jesus. And we need others to encourage us and to build us up to do that. While in its purest form, I believe that mentorship has a lot to do with a lifelong relationship with another person, this isn't always the case in our current day. Nor does it have to be effective in way of mentorship. It's a relationship that helps with practicing the spiritual disciplines, building character and faithfulness in one's life walk to be a good model of what it means to follow Christ. Engagement and conducting with others is all important. You know, in today's age, we live in the computer generation now, and there's lots that separate us. I was listening to the news even this last week, and they were talking about the epidemic of loneliness and how so many of us feel lonely and not connected to other people. And that we should have in spades in way of the church. We should really know the importance of connecting with one another. Peter advised people to love one another deeply in 1 Peter 4:8. To be a mentor requires that we ourselves have a strong biblical foundation and display the fruit of being a devout follower of Jesus. It doesn't require that we be a spiritual giant. It does require that we have leadership experience in our lives and can demonstrate the fruit of the Christ life, expressing itself in love and in service. A mentor isn't a parent. Let's get that straight. The relationship should be based on a mutual respect for one another, not on a hierarchy. The mentor should have experience in the areas the mentoree desires and wants for his own or her own life. The focus should be more on the mentor being a resource person for the mentoree, a person that can direct and coach the mentoree into areas that would be able to resource them in way of books or in way of situations or ideas. The mentor should not be a perfectionist. Mentoring isn't an ideal of trying to push somebody so far to idealize them as perfect. And no mentor will ever be perfect. But they should be a few more steps ahead of those that they mentor. They should be a few more steps in way of what that individual is seeking in their own life. The perfectionist attitude or requirement really hinders the mentor-mentoree relationship. Perfectionism can lead to legalism and to pride, really not what we're seeking after in way of being a true Christian, rather humility, as we know that in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, one of the first Beatitudes is, blessed are they who are what? Poor in spirit. And that's the beginning of the Christian life should be all about humility. So to drive for perfectionism really drives at what is opposite, in which God aspires us to be humble, and aspiring after Him in way of humility in our lives is so important. So perfectionism doesn't gain us that. Vulnerability and openness is more required on the part of the mentor. His willingness to share one's own struggles and weaknesses with each other. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Be on guard against what mentoring isn't in our lives. Fourthly, who should mentor? Mentorship needs to be on all of our radars, part of how we want to function in our relationship with one another. The person desiring to be mentored must be willing to approach those that they find that they would like to be mentored by. This is a big hurdle to overcome, that first step, to ask somebody, would you mind helping me in this area? I need some help and some encouragement. This takes some initiative on our part. Many leaders are busy people, and putting up a challenge of spending some extra time with a person that's younger or a person that needs some help can be a challenge to those that are being asked to mentor. Even they need to be desiring to see these young people be raised up, and that be a call upon us as an older generation. We need to see that there are many factors that obscure well-intentioned motives when leaders feel that they cannot take on another mentoree. But really, mentorees need to see that they need to be raised up and to be encouraged by the generation that is before them. A means to start is to create a list. Think of those people that you are close to. Think of those that might know you a little better. And go down the list and see if you can approach them and say, hey, would you mind getting together once in a while to talk about some of the areas in our spiritual lives? You might ask questions like these: who can best help me grow in the Christian life? Or maybe, can I see the person committing themselves to me? Are they someone I see as a good model for living the Christian life? Do I desire to develop the same qualities of life this individual has? That can wean some out of the field in way of your list. It's important to discuss with the potential mentor your expectations you have in the relationship. What are you looking for? And what can this other person offer? If you can agree in similar values and direction and timetables, the next step is forming a commitment to meet together regularly. If you don't know the person very well, you have to realize that you have to grow in the relationship and get to know each other better. Start slowly. This is important. The time with the mentor is not a time for the mentor. It's a time for you as the mentoree. You need to understand your priorities and areas you have in your life that you want to grow in. These are not the mentor's responsibility to bring the agenda to the table. It's more the mentoree's responsibility. The mentor shouldn't be required to be a mind reader to say, well, these are the areas that I want to teach you in. Then it becomes more of a program than it does a help and a benefit to those of the next generation. You're not meeting just to meet. Your purpose is always to become a more devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So maybe there's a time to say, you know, maybe we need to stop meeting in the mentoree relationship. When it becomes just a program rather than a benefit for you to grow in the Christian life to be a deeper follower of Jesus. Well, some practicalities of mentoring. Last point. These may be some times when the mentoree is looking for some direct advice. I need to know how to solve this problem. And we hear that all the time. We all have problems. It'd not be helpful for the mentor to give that kind of advice directly to the mentoree in solving their problem. The mentor is not in the role of being a problem solver. They should be directing the mentoree to resources, and the primary resource of Jesus Christ himself. In healthy adult mentoring relationship, the agenda should be more the responsibility of the mentoree, as already mentioned. The mentor can not be presumed to be a mind reader. And so we need to have those agendas set before us by the mentoree. This does not mean that the mentor cannot bring areas of significance that perhaps the mentoree doesn't know about or maybe hasn't considered. But the mentor must never be overbearing, condescending, or have a controlling manner about them. You should not mentor if you desire to be the center of attention. Mentoring takes a lot of selfless service and a willingness to adapt to the needs of another person. If you feel that you're just surviving in your life and ministry, mentoring might not be for you. You might need to give that some time. If you're feeling like you're suffering from burnout, disillusionment with your life and your ministry, there can be a lot of negativity wrapped up in how you're trying to deal with these difficult situations in your life. And it might not be best for you to enter into a relationship with a younger person. For obvious reasons, it's not wise to mentor someone of the opposite gender. Now, there are a lot more practicalities in way of mentoring that I can bring up this morning. But we do have time limits. Let this be a parting word to you this morning. Mentorship is costly. It involves selflessness on the part of the mentor and as well as the mentoree. It involves a building of intimacy in a relationship. But those things are so important, and the cost is worth what they're able to mine in our hearts and our lives. If we are really all about changing our inner life, and we will stand before God, and one day he will say to us, "Welcome into my kingdom." He'll do that on the basis of judging our hearts. And so again, it's not just those externals that will be most important when we face God. It says in the scriptures that God sees our hearts, knows our inner thoughts. Working the angles is so important into our lives. And really getting close to other people that can keep us accountable in way of living the Christian life is so important, because we all like to look good, smell good, and appear good to one another. But reality is that we struggle in living the Christian life. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all constantly around us, begging us and chasing after us and tempting us and driving us towards chasing after worldly idols. We really need one another to come in and to check into those inner recesses of our lives and to keep ourselves accountable, to say, really, are you committed to prayer? Are you committed to developing yourself as a leader that the next generation can look up to and follow? We all need that. We all need people that we can look up to. We have to ask ourselves, am I shaping myself to be the kind of leader that the next generation following me is going to be able to look up to and say, I want to follow that person as they follow Christ? Mentorship, folks, talking about it for 3 months now. Actually, if you take it back to the beginning of the year, since January. Mentorship is so important for us. If you're expecting a mentorship relationship to fall into your lap, you might be waiting a long time. You have to ask yourself, what do I really want in my life, in my relationship with God, in my relationship in this church? Again, Peter commanded us to love each other. 1 Peter 4:8. Love each other deeply. Love always comes with a cost. Love is never cheap. It's cheap in Hollywood movies. It's just falling in and out of love with whoever because of how they look. But reality is, we're far more than what we look like. We have a whole internal world that we live with every day in the reality of living life. And so, folks, we need each other to keep each other accountable, to keep ourselves growing and being transformed before the living God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you. And we recognize today, Lord, that we need each other. And we need, Lord, to be bold and courageous in way of initiating relationships with one another that will continue to keep us accountable in living the Christian life aright. Lord, we pray against those things that lead us astray. We commit those things unto you that one day we will be able to stand before your throne of grace and say that we've encouraged someone else, that they've come alongside of us and we've come alongside of them, and that we've been in a mutual encouragement to one another. Lord God, we pray for these kind of relationships in our church. We pray that you'll help us to be bold and courageous with one another, and so glorify your holy name. Lord, we commit these things unto you and pray that your Spirit would give us strength to talk and to share with one another as we ought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we close off the worship. As people of God, whether we are being mentored or we are the mentoree or mentoring people, we fail. We fail in many ways. But God is good. At the end of the day, He is always good. Just remind ourselves.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving.
Tell him that God is good.
You're so good.
Yes, you are God. You are so good.
God, you're so good.
Lord, you are good to us each and every moment.
The cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, the sinners saved, the work of your power.
Sing it out, God, your soul.
I am blessed. this life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever.
Sing out to God, you're so good. Yes, Lord, you are good. As we face you in every day, thank you, Lord, that you are good. Lord, we can't thank you, Lord. You are good. We are blessed. We are blessed and we are called, Lord. Thank you.
Upon your hearts today. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Please be seated. I ask you to turn in your bulletins this morning to a few brief announcements. First of all, I just want to mention that we do have a team going out to Cambodia in next month, or at the end of the month, I believe, right? July. We want to show a quick video here of one of their promotional things of what they're going to be doing. So just give a look at the screen behind me.
The Early Christian and Missionary Alliance describes a church as a society fully devoted to experiencing the deeper life in Christ and completing the Great Commission, according to Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. We want our Cambodia missions trip to impact our lives by
meeting people from different cultures,
by learning and experiencing their culture and lifestyle,
by loving others who are different from me,
by praying for people outside my community,
by engaging in mission,
by seeing God work.
My name is Jonathan Falk.
I'm Stephanie Ma.
My name is Dorian Leung.
I'm Carmen Young.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Ma.
My name is Benjamin Ma.
Hi, my name is Ray Chia, and I'm a pastor at Westwood Alliance Church.
Send, pray, or go, but don't be a bystander.
So let's have our team kind of stand up. They're in our midst here. So you don't recognize some of them. They're kind of in our midst. There's Ray up there, Jonathan over here, the three Ma's. They're on vacation. Okay, there we go. So we got Benjamin, Jonathan, and Steph. So we want to be praying for those, Dorian and Carmen, and of course Ray. Thank you for standing, Ray. Continue to remember them in prayer, as this next Sunday is actually going to be a special Mission Sunday. Over the course of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, of course, is we call our Joint Missions Conference, JMC. It's in your bulletin under point number 8 there. The Joint Missions Conference happens on Friday night to Sunday, and at that time, we'll be traveling down to Richmond, and the parking around Richmond is pretty tight, so it's best to carpool if you can. So if you can organize with a few other people to go down, Friday night and Sunday night are free. There's no charge involved in that, but on the all-day Saturday and stuff, there'll be a minimum charge if